save us and make him our Lord and Savior, that inherent with that comes obedience. It isn't something we just do and then we go off and do our own thing. We follow his every word. We follow his commands. We follow his principles. We obey him. But that was a very interesting statement here, just as a sidelight that Peter makes in verse 2. He says, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. What does that mean? Historians tell us that Peter was an Old Testament scholar. He loved the Old Testament. He studied it. He researched it. He read it. He knew it very well. And clear back, I was very happy this morning in Sunday school class while Bill was teaching. He kind of skipped over Exodus 24. We went from 23 to 25. That's because I want Exodus 24. He didn't know that, but God knows that. So turn with me to Exodus 24, will you? Exodus 24. Here we find one of the most interesting events between God and the nation Israel. Moses had been given the law. We studied that in this class. And that's in Exodus chapter 20 where the law is listed. Moses brings to the people all that God told him to bring. And he starts unfolding all that God wants the children of Israel to do. Exodus 24, notice verse 3. When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice. Everything the Lord has said, we will do. Wow, can you imagine? How would that feel like if you were the leader of these people? And God just met with Moses, gave him the law and these instructions. He tells the people this law and these instructions. And the people say, everything he says, we will do. Wow. That's obedience. That's making a pledge to God. And so the people say, everything the Lord has said, we will do. Verse 4. Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning, built an altar at the foot of Mount Sinai, and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 5. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. There's all these people, and this huge slaughter taking place of all these animals. And then Moses, verse 6. Took half the blood and put it in bowls. For some reason, he's saving that blood. And the rest, the other half, he sprinkled on the altar. Verse 7, then he took the book of the covenant, which is the law, and all that God had him write down, and he read it to the people, and they responded, we will obey everything the Lord has said. We will obey. Okay, are we fine up to that point? You can just picture this. Moses is telling everything God had said to tell the people, and the people says, everything God has said, we will obey. And so they sacrifice some animals. But still half the blood is in some bowls being saved. In ancient times, how did people seal a pledge? How did they seal a promise? With blood. They did it with blood. Verse 8. Moses then took the blood, I'm assuming it's the blood from the bulls that he saved, sprinkled it on the people. Now, if I had some blood here, I would, no. And this is what he said. This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. God says, here's my law, obey it, and you will be blessed. That was God's part of the promise. What was the people's part of the promise? We will obey. So you have God's part of the promise where the sprinkled blood on the altar represented God, and then Moses sprinkled the other half of the blood on the people, which represented the people. And so the people made a promise to God. God made a promise to the people, I will bless you. The people said, everything you say, God, I will obey. That was their promise. How was it sealed? With blood. And I think that's what Peter had in mind here. Why is that so important? It's because the people were now separated to God. You see, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, when we came to Christ, Jesus promised us blessing and grace and mercy and joy and salvation and hope and forgiveness. He has and still does keep His promise. But what part was ours? What part of the promise is ours? To obey Him in everything. To obey Him in everything. And when we do that, we are confessing Him as what? Lord. Lord. He owns us. He's our master. And it's if at that moment of confession, the blood of Christ is then sprinkled upon us, separating us to God. The same as Moses sprinkling the people in Israel. But we don't sprinkle blood on people. I've never been in a church that sprinkled blood on people. Have you? What do we do? What is an outward sign that shows we will obey God? Baptism. Baptism doesn't save us. But it's a sign, an outward expression of an inward faith. It's kind of like you're saying, like the children of Israel back in Exodus 24, everything God you say, I will do when we get baptized. We're going to follow Him 100%. But that 100% doesn't always come out 100%, does it? And I know we all struggle with this whole issue of obedience, but the struggle will be a lot easier and victory will be much more assured if we renew our commitment on a regular basis. How do we do that? What's that look like? Well, prayer, confessing. We did it this morning. Maybe we didn't realize we were doing it. Maybe we didn't think about it. But the songs we sang, that's a great way to acknowledge God as Lord, Master, who owns me, and renewing my commitment to Him, to obey Him in everything He says. Every time you pray, confess your sins, you are renewing your promise to obey the one who owns you. Continue in His obedience. So as we look ahead to the summer, remembering who it is who owns us, but also think about how you are doing with obeying the one who owns us, who owns you, so that you will remain faithful to Christ. Number three, and I know these are very simple. I'm just preaching to the choir, right? You know all this stuff. I can say it, they're reminders. It's good to be reminded of these things. Number three, remember to read God's Word. Remember to read God's Word. How easy it is, even during these summer months, to possibly, maybe, just put aside God's Word. Oh, when fall comes, I'll get back into it. No, don't go there. Don't do that. Keep reading His Word. Look at chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 13. Peter writes, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed." What's Peter saying there? He's saying this: tie up all your loose ends as you see summer approaching. Well, obviously, he didn't say as you see summer approaching. But literally, the phrase means tie up all your loose ends. Tie up all your loose ends. It's like a picture of a soldier who is ready for battle, preparing himself to go to war. And if he has stuff that's dangling or untied or unkept around him, that might distract him from doing what he needs to get done. Tie it up, secure it, is what Peter is saying. Well, what may be some loose ends that we need to tie up? Well, I'm sure there's many of those, but Peter does give us a little example here in chapter 2, verse 1. He says, therefore, rid yourselves. That is, throw it away. Just get rid of it. Of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. That's just a start. That's a good place to start, is it not? But look at verse 2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. As newborn babies desire food, milk, let us desire the same way, the Word of God, His very Word. That needs to be our first desire. And ladies, I don't want to offend you, you who are mothers, but when a baby first comes into the world, they don't care anything about the color of their bedroom. They don't care anything about the color of their curtains. They don't care what it costs or what it looks like, their brand new crib. They didn't even care about the special blanket you made to wrap them in. All they care about is food. It's milk. It's about the milk, right? It's all about the milk. And so Peter is saying, in the same way that a baby has a singular passion for milk, you, to the one who owns you, to the one you obey, have that same singular passion for His Word. Why? So we can grow. Because as we read His Word, from the Word of God come our convictions and come our growth and come our beliefs and our foundations. A while back, the singing group Mercy Me wrote and sang this song called Word of God Speak. Let it fall down like rain, washing my eyes to see Your majesty. And then they took a line from Psalm 46:10, to be still and know that You're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in Your holiness. As we grow in our walk with God, as we want and desire to be more conformed, as we should be, to the image of His Son, Christ, we need to be in the Word so we can know between truth and error, between what is right and what is false, what is right and what is wrong, what is true and what is false. We need to read the Bible. And as we continue to read the Bible, we read something and it becomes belief, and then that belief becomes conviction, and conviction is what I believe is so firmly that it controls my life. That's what Peter is saying here. And in that way, you will remain faithful. That's why he says in verse 13 of chapter 1, prepare your minds for action. Don't be what James says. Don't be a double-minded man who is unstable in all his ways. Be secure in what you believe. Be firm in your foundation. Foundations and beliefs that are cemented into the very Word of God. But you have to continue reading and reading and reading. So if you're to remain faithful this summer, read your Bibles. So remember who owns you, remember to obey, remember to read God's Word. Number 4, remember sin destroys relationships. Sin destroys relationships. Chapter 1, verse 14. Peter writes, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. In other words, don't go back to the way you used to live before you came to know Christ. Don't go back to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Don't live sinfully the way you used to live. But I think one of the reasons why we have trouble with this is what the very first part of verse 14 says. What does it say? In the NIV it says, as obedient children. Our little babies grow up, they don't always like to obey their parents, do they? They have a will that needs to be broken. They need to be taught, trained, modeled, exampled what it means to obey. You see, we have a relationship with God. God is our Father. He owns us. We are His children, and we should be like Him. Children don't always like to be obedient. So what's Peter saying? Don't be a child in that regard. But as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Verse 15, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. That phrase is repeated all throughout the Old Testament book of Leviticus. God is saying, you're my children, you're connected to me, I demonstrate my life in you, and I demonstrate my life through you. So, obey. Well, why? Look at verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayer. You ever wonder if God isn't answering your prayers? What does that verse say? The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their, the righteous's prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You make the choice. You want God to be against you, or do you want God working for you? Really isn't a tough choice, is it? It's pretty simple. Sin not only destroys the relationships with God our Father, but sin also puts a wedge in other relationships like husband and wife, a relationship like mom and dad and children, a relationship of employee to employer, a relationship to friends, even maybe your neighbors. If we are to remain faithful, we must keep sin as far away as it is possible. How do you do that? Because it's all around us. Well, there is one key, if not two keys, in the book of Psalms. Remember, David asked in Psalm 119, how can a young man keep his way pure? What was the answer? By living according to your word. It's the word. Keeping the word. And he went on to say in 119 verse 11, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. If we have sin in our heart, sin in our life, and we know we must obey Christ, we must get rid of that sin, confess that sin, repent of that sin, because that's going to cause division in the body, division in the home, division in the family, division in our relationship with the one who owns us. So we get rid of that sin, but what do we replace it with? The Word of God. So we will not sin. So remember this summer that sin destroys relationships. Remain faithful. And last but not least, remember to love. Remember to love. Chapter 1, verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. I think Peter's talking specifically here about our love for believers. It's obvious we are to love everyone. I mean, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But I think he's specifically looking here at a specialness of love that we have towards those that are in the family of God. What did the end of verse 22 say? Love one another deeply from the heart. Why? Verse 23, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. In other words, I think what Peter is saying here, you now have an eternal life principle operating in you that produces a love for other believers that is sincere love. It's a fervent love. The Greek word there means to stretch. You stretch to the maximum, a muscle. You stretch to the maximum your love for one another. as much as it is possible. So our lives are to be stretched in love to the maximum for others. Our lives are to be marked by love. And it's not a shallow love. What did he say? It's a deep love. It's the kind of love Paul talks about that only comes not from ourselves, because we are incapable of that kind of love. But he says in Romans 5:5, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. We have his love to love others. Wow, that's pretty huge, isn't it? Is there anyone you don't love? Is there anyone as a believer you don't love? Where does this love come from? It comes from God by his Spirit. If we have the Spirit in us, that love is going to be there, that deep love. A song comes to mind which was written years ago that says, "Teach me to love. This is my prayer. May the compassion of thy heart I share. Ready a cup of water to give. May I unselfishly for others live. So in my heart thy goodness prove. As thou hast loved, teach me to love." Teach me to love. Well, what have we been taught about love? Well, for one example, John 15:13, Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friend." Jesus laid down his life for us. Why? Because of his amazing love for us. An amazing love that has been poured out into our hearts by his Spirit. You want to remain faithful? Remember to love. Well, let me give you a couple verses in closing this morning to take with us. It's in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather he lives his life for the will of God." And so on that basis, remember who owns you. Remember to obey. Remember to read his word. Remember sin destroys relationships. And remember to love. This is how we can remain faithful. Yes, even during these summer months ahead. Let's pray. Father, would you help us to be those that do remain faithful? Not putting you or your word on a shelf just to collect dust and we'll get back to it later after all the fun we've been through. But to be committed to you wholeheartedly, 100%. Even in days ahead where the sun is warm and it's shining bright and the sky is blue and the mountains are green and the lakes are fresh. These things that can draw us away, may they attract us even more so to you. Draw us into your presence because we've read your word. We love our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We obey you. We will not let sin cause division and destroy relationships, even the relationship we have with you, because we remember who owns us. You own us. You're the master. You're the Lord. We are your slaves. And we want to obey you in everything. Everything you say, we will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.